I belong to
Shut
you.
Shut up,
Rudy.
Welcome to
Technology. 28.
29.
Oh, 29.
Een schokt en een hokkele.
Hokkele.
Hoogli. It is St. Patrick's Day here in Ireland.
And we've all turned into leprechauns.
For the day. So it's the one day we can drink as much as Francis drinks all the rest of the days of the year.
Hence I have to drink twice as much just to keep up with myself.
Which means I can have my evil way with him after the show.
Well, you think so?
Up the hole. .com. Alright, welcome back. That was obviously a fake accent.
Yes,
we're really
exactly.
Like.
Yes, we're in Trinity, so, we, you know, we need to be education. Yeah. So, Garoff.
Yes, Francine.
Let's move on to our first story.
Ooh,
which
what's
this
that?
Week is about mid-extreme IPTV. And what does Matrix Stream IPTV promise to you, our little viewer? It promises movies and television on demand. Channels streaming instantly to any Broadway connection straight to your home. And it'll use any Broadway connection up to 1080p. Pixels.
Silence!
God.
Who was that?
Leprechaun.
Silence.
Pixies and leprechauns.
The leprechauns have joined us for the show. Anyway, the whole point of this is they promise that they can distribute movies and TV to your home or your mobile phone or anything else when you want. Now, generally, it's aimed towards content providers. So, those like big MGM, all those, and NBC, any of Fox, whoever you want to call our good old RTE here in Ireland, who want to distribute their movies or TV over the internet, and they provide a middleware which supposedly will deliver this to people's homes or their mobile devices using current technology or whatever broadband backbones are currently available, making no demands on quality of service or anything like that. Essentially, it's a middleware to those who are familiar with the term. So it's something that sticks in the middle between. Someone has the content.
The forward and the back.
The content, yes. The content, want to get it.
The front and the behind.
Exactly. The middle, exactly. It's in the middle. And it's called wear. Because it wears you out because it's boring as hell. Believe me.
So in English, what are we talking about?
In English, essentially, it's a whole bunch of technology to get the stuff from their servers onto your TV.
And the stuff is high definition video.
Video, making no extra like fiber lines or anything like this being laid down. So whatever you have at the moment, if it's fast enough, they promise they can deliver video to you.
Is this the future of getting video to your home?
I have my doubts, first of all, because all we've got to go on is their website, which obviously they're not going to say it's a load of crap. They're going to say it's brilliant. It does everything except make a cup of tea. Oh, look, it makes a cup of tea as well. It's a damn good one. So I wouldn't quite buy everything they're saying. Plus, I don't actually know whether anyone has actually used this yet. So as with most middlewares, you can really only tell when someone's actually using it in practice.
It looks kind of good. Robert Cringely's been talking about this for ages on his blog, how a company's going to come along and do something like this, create technology where you can get that HD video on demand to your home without waiting. But is this the one to do it?
Question is, what's going to happen like when someone finally decides to use this? I mean, why hasn't anyone used this yet? Are they going for their own proprietary versions of this? Because essentially it is a middleware. So, I mean, other people could develop their own middlewares to do this, and maybe the MGMs or Foxes of this world are like building their own middlewares that won't use, you know, Matrix Stream, and you know they'll use it to embed their own DRM and stuff into it, because Matrix Stream depends, I think, from the diagram I saw, they depended on like Microsoft or other DRM providers, but they don't outline how it all works, really. So, I mean, you kind of base it on, faith.
Yeah.
That it all works and it all hangs together perfectly. Especially the problem is, if, like, you really roll this out for, like, MGM, they roll it out for all their movies, then you're talking about hundreds, thousands, millions of people. I mean, if you go worldwide, it's huge. Which means, like, you really gotta be able to scale up.
I think they're aiming for individual providers, so people like cable providers and DSL providers and stuff like that, to be the middleware for those kind of people to offer those value-added services.
Yeah.
Like naughty movies to your home in the middle of the night on demand, scrub, touch, quick, quick.
Exactly, but they talk about the stuff for like having it to mobiles, but then they go very nice and vaguely, you know, if you're kind of hardware, you know, supports us.
How's that going to work? How would you get video content to mobiles using this middleware? I mean, is it not going to be, what are they going to do, translation into a grainy mobile version? How's that
going to
work?
It's going to have to be a grainy mobile version, because first of all, you're dealing with a smaller screen. You've only got a limited amount of power and memory stored on like a mobile device, like a phone, and plus you're depending on like wireless network, which is like far less capabilities, which has outages, you know, you can lose connectivity for periods of time. So I mean, this whole pile is a problem, and that's a whole general problem with general connectivity in wireless networks anyway, that you can be disconnected for a period of time. That happens with streaming media, even with like the internet, but it's even worse with wireless, because you can be disconnected for a period, you know, the network could go down, or you could just be in like a lead line room. Who knows? Because you're Superman or something.
Pads on the wall.
Who knows?
Large men holding you still.
But, you know, it happens. Like, you know, you can walk into a certain area and it's just a black spot where you just can't get connectivity. So, I mean, what happens to that?
They're everywhere these days.
Does like your video stop and you're like, "Gah!" Just when I was getting to the interesting bit.
That is one of the things, though. They do claim that they don't require quality of service, and hence they work, even over a shoddy-ish internet connection.
Oh, I have my doubts.
Yes.
I have my doubts, because quality of service is kind of an important thing. They probably kind of imply their own quality of service, because they do ask, like, that your internet connection be, like, 3 times better than, like, the minimum they would use for, like, sending video up to you. So, I mean, obviously, they're using that extra space as, like, a quality of service, so they can just buffer ahead.
And they're talking 3 megs and up for the internet connection you're going to need.
Yes.
And
so
if you have a 3 meg internet connection, you don't really. You have best it can possibly be is 3 megs.
Yeah.
Day to day, you're only going to get a few hundred K out of it. So.
Yeah.
The leprechauns agree.
That sounds good on paper. In practice.
4 out of 5 leprechauns agree.
4 out of 5 leprechauns, or there's always one.
It's that cut with the tato, isn't it?
Yeah, with the tatoes.
I don't think 4 out of 5 people prefer tato. Not to disparage tato as a company. Everyone I know hates tato and thinks it's shit, but that's just their personal opinion.
I like tatoes.
Do you? You're that fucker. You're that 4 out of 5 fucker. You want your mates.
That's fast.
Like, sweet.
I like ripples though. Tato made them, so it's okay.
Alright,
anyway.
Moving on. I wouldn't wait for my video on demand just yet.
No. Actually, disparaging Tato reminded me of something, because we're not going to get any free Tato, but if you would like us to send us free stuff, like, for example, technology to review, we can promise to review it fairly. Cruelly at times, but always fairly.
Always fairly.
So, mobile phones, camcorders, PCs, or even juicy young VR stars like Neela over there.
Ninja Negra.
She says like a curry, doesn't she?
I'd have a number 9, a Parminda, please.
Oh, I'll have 69 myself, but that's just me. Alright, moving on to our next story. This is the Pirate Bay. You may know the Pirate Bay from having downloaded legal movies, in which case you're a lawbreaker, and we piss on your grave. These guys run what they argue is, according to Swedish law, a legal service linking you to the files you want to download through BitTorrent. And the Pirate Bay is the world's most popular BitTorrent website, if I'm not wrong.
Yes, because all its rivals have been taken out by the OOI and the MP.
So in Sweden. In Sweden, this site has provoked fierce debate, and in fact it's even formed a political party, the Pirate Party, whose aim is to make sure that file sharing is not made illegal under Swedish law, and to defend the rights of file sharing.
Yes, they want to roll back the EU directive on copyright, and actually essentially roll back the copyright laws that have been brought into Sweden, and actually open it up. So, I mean, they're more than fighting copyright, they're actually rolling you back to, like, the good old days.
Back when we were free. Free to copy and pirate. Not that we ever did that anyway, because it was always evil and morally wrong. But having said that, this is the last stand for sanity. These guys, I think they represent a point of view that pretty much doesn't exist anymore in Ireland.
No.
That's that people shouldn't be imprisoned or made criminals for downloading and breaking, violating copyright. People are more important than intellectual property. It seems an obviously correct stance when you put it like that.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But that's not how we hear about it. We hear about the evil copyright violators who are funding terrorism through downloading music. Something which doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
And it's nonsense. If you'd like more information, go to the Pirate Bay. You might find links to movies, games, and videos, and so on. Don't download them. That would be wrong. Really don't.
Yes, well, it's interesting, because they're a torrent tracker. They're not actually... They don't have actually...
They don't post any
copyright
for
information on them. They only have, like, the links to the copyrighted information. But, obviously, the NPA and RIA think... That's as good as stealing the stuff or host it yourself. So it's arguable, I think, you know. I mean, if you put a link on your website, then are you...
Well, it's a dangerous...
Share it.
You know, does that mean? That means if I link to House of Cosby's, which we did last week, we're breaking the law.
Yeah, exactly.
By pointing someone, it's like mentioning it in my book. If I write a book, it's like mentioning that somebody else has a book which tells you how to build a bomb. I'm saying the name of the book. I'm not giving you the instructions. All I'm doing is pointing out that there's information that exists.
Exactly. So, I mean, showing someone where the information is or where something can be found, I don't think it's the same as actually giving it to them. I mean, they still have the choice to go there.
Absolutely.
So I think, yeah.
It's like getting an abortion. You can't have one there, but you can get the information about it.
You can get the information.
Or I can get the old plug pulled over in the UK. I think I stepped over the line there.
I think we did. Again, for the first time ever we've stepped over the line.
Yes.
Anyway, I find it interesting because there's actually been like a group set up in Sweden to actually fight against the Pirate Bay group, which are like... Pirate Bay.
I hate those gay pirates.
Sorry, Freudian...
They pillage my box.
Some kind of slip. Anyway.
So they pirate slips as well, didn't they?
Yes. They're pirates in slips and they're all gay.
Gay pirates.
Gay pirates get
gay.
Okay. Oh my god. Blah.
Balls. Gay.
Kabashta.
Chicken. Stripped. Homosexual.
Anyway. There's been a group set up like that actually fights for copyright.
Ooh. Do you think this is a real group?
These are an actual group who actually fight. And apparently they claim to have actual pirates as part of their membership who, like, are against Pirate Bay. Because these pirates want to share the files among themselves. So that's okay once there's not sharing with everyone.
So is this group, this has nothing to do with the NPA, the RA, they're just formed as concerned citizens?
Yeah, concerned citizens, like, it's ridiculous. Plus, apparently, like, they've been around, they've been trying to help the authorities, so they alerted them to copyrighted material that were held on an ISP servers. And they used screen grabs from people's computers to actually demonstrate that they're file sharing.
So let's be clear, we're talking about fuckheads here, basically.
Yeah,
backstabbing fuckheads who go
and
chasing other citizens.
Thankfully, though, the people at Pirate Bay managed to show how easy it is to fake screen grabs, and those people were actually acquitted eventually. Yeah! So, to hell with you. And for the copyrighted material that was found on the ISP, same thing again, essentially the anti-Pirate Bay group were shown to have been just as likely to have uploaded the material as anyone else, so...
So they're acting as moles, burying themselves into the...
Plus, actually, after the ISP was... all the copyright material was grabbed, Pirate Bay will be... What?
Noisy little fuckers, aren't they?
Jesus, leprechauns.
Who is...
Okay,
anyway,
moving on.
It's interesting stuff, and they might well win some seats in Sweden's parliament in the next election. Who knows? Because apparently, up to 10% of the Swedish population file share.
Well, I'd say up to much more than that of the Irish population file share.
Oh, probably, yes. But, I mean, they could have, they have quite a large support base, so I mean, it's quite possible that they may win seats somewhere.
Hmm. Interesting.
Will they have a voice? First time.
Hello.
File sharers having a voice in Parliament.
Imagine the mad laws that they'd enact. Share your wife. Share your hair.
Just rip it out. Give it to me. Download your hair. Anyway.
Moving on
to our next story. Here's a story from Wired.
.com.
Yes, exactly. And it regards MSID. Lawrence Lessig? Is it Lessig?
Lessig.
Lessig thinks that MSID, which is an ID system proposed by Microsoft, hence the MS, might not be the worst idea in the world. Now, we're not talking about the whole Microsoft Passport system, which was like... rubbish. We're talking about something better. Or at least, that's what Lawrence thinks. Now, essentially, what he says is that this system will effectively add an identity layer to the internet so that it'll be hard to falsify an identity. And I... Oh, my God.
There we go.
Okay, so it'll be hard to falsify an identity, and it will be very easy to verify yourself. So essentially, it'll be very hard for people to carry out phishing. Essentially, this is what it's going to combat in some ways, and it'll be your one kind of online identity, which will be controlled by you. So the information that's handed out is controlled by you. So a website asks for like your, I don't know, age or what country you're in. You can just hand out that information alone and not any other information. So, users' computers will hold files called info cards that give encrypted sites access to authenticated information about the user. So, essentially, when a website requests personal data, you choose whether to release that information securely and with the verification of the website that authenticates you. So, the idea is that you can authenticate yourself anywhere, and this information can't be falsified to someone else. So someone else, there's no identity theft. This is also meant to fight identity theft. So Lawrence thinks like that this could become a major problem at some stage in the future, that someone could actually like pretend to be someone in, you know, pretend to be a congressman or something like this, and, you know, sign up to things and send out mails and make posts and all this, which could be a terrible scandal. So one good thing, which I think is from it, is it's actually a protocol which is implementable by anyone, not just Microsoft. So you won't be just stuck with Microsoft's version of this.
I can see some serious problems with this. Number one, if the files are on your computer, it means you can't use this information when you're not at your computer.
Yeah.
And increasingly we're getting more mobile platforms, working from work, working from other computers. A lot of people don't even have their own computer and still lead active internet lives. And yet, you won't be able to with this. And also, another basic problem, phishing. There's got to be a way to steal your info card, or at least one session of it, and then go off and use it on a transaction. It seems dodge. And Microsoft, trusting them to create a protocol.
Yeah, there's so many years of expertise and work of creating fantastically secure operating systems.
Let's be honest.
Applications.
It's kind of like trusting Uncle Ted, the smiley kitty fiddler, with your little nephew, Philip, the rosy-cheeked toddy.
Philip the Rosy Cheat Hottie.
.com.
Oh my. Yes, apparently it's going to be rolled out with Vista, Microsoft's next OS, which is coming out in October. November? Is it November? October?
Followed closely by Fista.
Fista for your sister.
Fista Sister, isn't that a band? It is. It's a metal band.
Fist and Sister.
No, there's Fist and Sister. Oh, I spoke to the leprechaun. That's really bad.
Don't talk to the leprechaun.
You turn into one if you talk to him.
No!
Okay. That's interesting.
I don't know. I think it's a dead leg. It's a bit nuts. Plus, like, I mean, again, there's the whole, like, everyone goes... Where's the privacy? I mean, it goes, yeah, it's control, but everyone would be expecting you to verify yourself after a while.
Anonymity out the window?
Yeah, exactly.
Screw that for a game of monkeys. Although
plus,
he probably knows what he's talking about.
I mean, phishing doesn't actually make use of... It doesn't...
Bait. Rods.
No. It makes use of vulnerabilities that are like inherent to humans, not to like the security technologies.
Bingo.
So I mean, it's social networking. So I mean, it's based on like the weaknesses of people to hand out their information rather than like the technologies that are underlying. So I mean, I think that won't actually get rid of social networking or those problems which are inherent to phishing and all that, because people are stupid. They hand out their information without thinking. So, I mean, I think it'll just be the same. There'll just be an info card thing going, oh, your info card is out of date. Send your information here.
Oh.
Bish, bash, bosh.
Oh,
your info card.
Oh, no.
So, I don't think it's really going
to
make a huge problem.
I'd like to see what Bruce Sterling has to say about this. He's the security writer. Or even people like Notorious Hacker, Kevin Mitnick, who realise that security, as you say, is really basically about people.
Yeah, it's about people.
Technology.
Yeah, it's not about technology. A lot of it is just common sense, people knowing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And knowing to be suspicious of everything, which is unfortunately the way of the world. That you actually have to be, you see a mail and you go, ooh, do I trust this? Better off. If it's original, just send it again.
Yeah, you can have the best system in the world, you can have the most advanced biometric front door with fingerprint and retina scan, but if you let some jerk in with you...
Yeah, exactly.
Door,
if you hold the door open, then he's into the building. It's like, hold the door, bang, there goes the whole security system, gone.
It's a little like that.
Yeah, exactly. Or leaving your machine logged on and just not having it log yourself out after a certain period of time.
Jason, our former co-presenter on the show, he leaves everything logged in on his computer. So if you were to pry open his window, I'm not going to give out his address in Trinity College Dublin where he lives, you could easily use every facility.
Yeah, exactly. There's like people who at home save all their passwords to the computer. And like, essentially, anyone else uses their computer, they got access to everything.
All those naughty pictures.
All those naughty pictures
of your
dirty website.
Hot little nephew.
Oh. They can see where you've been going. Oh, you dirty thing. Rarer. Well, your dirty secrets will come out. Chemo sluts. Then find out about your chemo sluts. Thalidomide orgy. Oh, yeah, then find out about it. The horror. The horror.
All those home movies you've been making with your pet. Dog. Ralphie. Okay. Moving on. To our next story. This is functional body modification. This is cool. Shut up, you. This is a story which concerns enhancing your sensory perception. In particular and specific, by giving you magnetic fingers. Magnetic fingers.
Extend your senses.
This is an article about a guy who got a procedure where his fingers were spliced open and he had tiny little little magnets, very powerful magnets, put into his finger encased in silicate, I think, or some sort of protective substance. Fingers sewn up, fingers heal, and he's got configuration, these little magnets, so he can now sense magnetic fields. And this is interesting because it's really low-tech in one way. I mean, it's just body modification. He uses some high-tech magnets. But it's giving him a whole new realm of perception.
Sense, yeah. So you can like now sense metals or magnetic fields.
And seriously, he mentions in the article it wasn't much.
Can he find his way home? It's like, oh, I'm lost.
Yeah, if
north.
His house is a giant magnet.
He dip his hand in water and like, oh look, it's floating, it's north.
The water is in his hand is sheer stupidity, ladies and gentlemen. Brought to you by Twatex.
Get on with it.
But it's interesting, because he's enhancing something that hasn't been done since we last evolved a sense, which would have been eyes, I guess, in the past.
Eyes? How do you know eyes were the last thing to be evolved?
I don't know. What do you think was the last sense to be evolved?
Smell.
Sarcasm.
Maybe smell.
This is irrelevant.
Maybe smell.
It's a new one, so it's cool because, you know, expanding, it's literally expanding the realms of human perception, you know, in a very concrete way.
Yeah, and it's very simple. Like, it's just like.
So simple.
It's
you could do it at home with a razor blade and some magnets if you were very stupid and didn't mind losing your fingers.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's pretty cool, like, but still, like. cutting your fingers open and sticking magnets.
Sure beats
those
nuts
with
extra horns in their heads and shit like that.
Sure, like,
oh, okay.
How practical is this skill? I mean, how does it really
benefit? No. This is one thing that's mentioned in the article, actually. He says it wasn't much used to him, but his friend, who's an electrician,
got it.
And he can actually feel which wires are, like, you know, on and which wires are live and which wires are earth. And I don't
understand a bit that. Well, no, actually, yeah, because when electricity passes through, like, a wire, it generates a
magnetic
field. So you could actually feel which wires are live, so you wouldn't know which... You wouldn't know to, like, oh, don't touch that, because I get electrocuted. So that's pretty clever, actually.
Yeah, he actually
that did. Actually is
he
a safety.
He died several times before he got this. It's pretty useful for him.
No, actually, that's pretty clever, actually.
It's good. I think what it means as well is he can run his hand along, like, a plasterboard wall and tell where the wire is and stuff like that.
Wow.
Which is awesome. I mean, that's extra sensory perception right there.
That's pretty cool. Come in soon to an electrician near you.
Magic fingers.
Magic fingers.
Okay.
Oh, baby.
Moving on. Another short story. Google is rumored to be purchasing Writely. Writely is, of course, a web 2.0 application which replicates the functionality of Word, Microsoft's word processing application. This is more evidence that, I think we actually mentioned it last week, but it's more evidence that Google may be planning an online office solution, storing all your documents in a G drive type scenario. And found it interesting.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely goes along with the rumors we've been hearing of, like, ooh, Office, Google Office, and Google OS, and it's all coming. So, plus I came across a story this week, I think, of, like, someone saying, I didn't get to read it, but it was that Microsoft might be moving as well to the whole online thing. So, I mean, Google might be trying to get there before them.
Oh, speaking
of Vista would be, like, Microsoft's last operating system where you'd actually install it, where the rest would be web based. I think
that's
the whole crux of the story.
I probably believe it.
Yeah, same here. Like, but interesting. I think like that they purchased Writely, and like we saw last week. We both looked at iOS, which was nice enough, a bit slow working. Like, you know, but and again, you have the whole
sounds like you. Moving on.
Anyway, yeah, exactly. But again, the same problem is you go like, Writely, okay, Google's storing all your documents. So
you
everything you write, everything from like your shopping list to your
Sally's first time
your
that
thesis, to your thesis, to your short stories, to your poems, to your to-do lists, whatever. I mean, who do you trust with that?
Not
do you trust yourself? Or I wouldn't trust you anyway.
And I'm Google. In some strange way. But it's interesting that you mentioned Microsoft's Office. I've seen a beta of the new Office.
Yes.
And it's freaking sweet looking. Very, they've gotten rid of drop down menus. Very pared back interface. Very web application looking. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But
nice.
It's still on your computer. It's nothing radical. But it's still kind of cool.
So they just jazzed up the interface and plus
they jizzed it up.
Logged in. A whole pile of extra stuff.
They lobbed it in.
Lobbed it in there, just so you'd be forced to get a bigger processor and spend more money on getting RAM and stuff, because there's long
getting
list.
RAM!
Getting RAM.
Had to push
RAM.
It as far as possible. Can't stop. Oh, Jesus.
You had to drink more.
I'm not even drinking. Gotta drink less. Less is good. Okay, this is one from you.
This is one from me. You've heard of Google Earth. No, there's Google Mars. Because you could get bored of this planet and want to go wandering wildly to Mars.
Such
just
enthusiasm.
Fuck all there. What? There's a couple of mountains. You go and look. I'd look at Olympus Mons because it's the largest mountain in the solar system.
No, that's not why you love it. You love it because you've read Kim Stanley Robinson, haven't you?
Which one?
Green Mars.
No,
I've
never read it.
Oh, you should read it. Sorry, go ahead.
There's some artificially clark ones about
Olympus
Mons. Yeah. Anyway, some stories.
Small.
Yeah, climbing Olympus Mons.
Boing!
No, not those kind of Olympus Mons.
No, a whole different kind.
They're a whole different kind.
Is it like
Mons.
The biggest mountain in the
solar system?
Solar system.
Yeah, it's like...
it's only a massive
shirt. It stretches into the upper atmosphere. It's like 2 or 3 kilometres
A
high.
Double G.
Yeah, it's a double Z. Quadruple Z, I think.
It's mountainous.
Gargantuan.
So if you're into your space nerdiness,
Space nerdiness, yeah, definitely. And you want to go wander around Mars.
Link from our wiki, as always.
Because that's what everyone wants to do, wander around Mars.
Unenthusiastic bastard. Jeez.
I don't find it all that interesting.
Fine, fair enough.
Wandering around Mars, like.
You can't even stalk anyone.
What was that, Leprechaun?
What was
you
that?
Can't even stalk anyone.
Exactly, you can't even look up someone's house and find out where they live.
Not if they're Martian.
You can't find your local pedia file.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But remember that.
Dodgy.
The one we did
Google
before, yeah.
The
Google. Yeah, the, what was I saying? The Google Maps search thing where you could find the local pedophile in your area.
In case you want to hook up.
In case you want to hook up or beat somebody up, like.
What are the other uses? You know, I can't see him.
But yeah, exactly. You either want to hook up or you want to find them and kill
burn
them.
Their house in.
Exactly. Those are the two uses.
Okay, next story. Webpages that suck. The annual Webpages that Suck awards are out and we found a doozy. There's a whole collection of them, but this is the Glaucoma Association. It's the Association of Associations of Glaucoma or something. And it's got a crappy webpage, but that's not why it's great.
It's great because of the theme tune.
It's great because of the theme tune.
Do you want to describe this theme tune?
It's like they got an opera singer, which is very surprising. And I can't believe the opera singer sang it. And I was like, not Jesus. I did not spend years in school learning how to sing properly to sing this shit.
The lyrics are something like, glaucoma, it hurts your eyes. Glaucoma, thwarted by science. Glaucoma! 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 Well, do you think we violated copyright there?
No.
Is it under selling?
Yeah. Plus we sang it very badly. It wouldn't be recognisable as the same.
Check it out though, it's a great site. I recommend you make it your homepage.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't check it out
if
you're home.
It's fantastic. Because you won't be able to see it. And you'd be in terrible pain. Because your eyelids have turned inside out. That's what glaucoma is.
Okay.
I've seen the ads on TV.
Mary is glaucomic. There's always flies
just,
in their eyes.
Yeah,
I think
just
wiped them off. They
just
feel
for five quid a month.
Oh, this is just bad. No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. If you have the coma, I feel.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. It's a terrible disease, but it's not being helped by having the lamest website on the internet. Yeah, seriously, it just makes a laughing matter of a very serious thing.
And it's not laughing. Okay, next story. Gabli, this is great. Gabli is a bit like, remember that thing we were talking about, web stickies before?
Oh yeah, web stickies.
Gabli is like a proper web stickies. If you go to any site, you type in gabli.com/any site, technotix.com, and you enter that in, you get a little, the site of your choice pops up with a little chat box. And the chats are stored indefinitely on Gabli servers, so you can chat in real time, but it's also like a miniature forum for every site on the internet.
That's deadly.
You instantly add live chat to your site. Like that.
Wow.
It's genius. It's a little feature poor at the moment, but it works. I mean, it's brilliant. You could talk to us on technotix.com.
Yeah.
Word diggity.
Gee. About spuds and cabbage. Bacon.
And leprechauns.
I'm taking that.
Okay. Second pop of the show.
All right. Oh, this is a nice one.
This one is like brain controlling your computer, but you have to wear a silly cap.
You wouldn't want to do that. You'd look like a twat.
Yeah, you look like a twat. Although you're a big nerd already, probably sitting in front of your computer, so
listening to a
vid
pod clocker cast.
Exactly. So it
yeah.
probably would be much different. So actually, this is very, very cool, I think. So essentially, this is a system developed by some researchers, which. You place this cap on your head, and after about 20 minutes of training the software and yourself to use it, essentially you're able to print text up on the screen by essentially just imagining yourself moving left or right. So it picks up brain signals in your head, obviously.
In your mind box.
In your head.
In your brain pan.
In your cabbage patch.
In your ear clapper.
Using something very close to EEG. And
EEG.
EEG. And essentially you can move this little cursor around the screen and pick letters out and print up on the screen. So it actually will be a practical use, of course, to people who are like paraplegic, like Christopher Lee Reeve.
He's dead.
I know he's dead.
He's dead.
I know he's dead. But if it was alive, he would have used it. I can't think of any other famous
Stephen Hawking.
Oh, there, Stephen Hawking. There we go.
Yeah.
If he was alive, so, you twat. Life would be a more precious. Jeez. Not my hat. They brought
ladies,
my beard.
Ladies.
Anyway, moving on. Okay. That is a great invention, and good for games as well, because who doesn't want to play games with their mind? I play games with your mind all the time.
Yeah, plus they actually suggest that it could be useful in such things as cars, because it would pick up the signal quicker from your brain than it would like.
Oh, okay.
Because it takes a certain amount of time for the information to travel from your brain to your foot to hit the brake, so it might be quicker if it picks it up straight away from your brain and shoves on the brakes because someone's jumped out in front of you.
I'm not sure if I trust my brain cap to signal my brakes. I prefer my foot to do that.
Well, whoever gets there first.
Oh, Jesus.
It takes 0.3 seconds for a message to come to your brain to your foot.
Pixie's talking in the corner.
We apologise for the constant interruption.
Yeah,
the pixie in the corner.
I'm sorry. Go on. I never come again.
We've been joined this week by France's little woman. She's in the corner.
No!
Ow! She hit me, not him.
Ow!
Oh, there we go.
If you want to see her, go to poontang.com.
You fucker.
She's number one under their heavyweight section.
Heavyweight beardy section.
Latifa.
Yeah.
You should see her, folks.
Exactly.
She's desperate. Okay.
Call sign Minsky.
Hey. Okay. Personal.
Alright, SpongeBob mini pants, let's go.
Okay. Next up is origami. But we're not talking about the Japanese, or is it Chinese art of paper folding?
I believe
it's Japanese.
Japanese. Wakanese.
Wakanese.
Oh, that's racist.
Oh, God.
You're a racist.
Yeah, I know. I hate everyone equally.
I love Japanese girls.
Do you?
No, pictures I've seen. Moving on.
Anywho. Apologies, all of Japan. It is Microsoft's new PDA, essentially. It's handheld computer, which will supply you with a 7-inch screen, touchscreen interface, only 800 grams, and some models have GPS, a webcam, finger scanner, and 40 gigs of storage space.
Ooh, so it's an 800 gram 7 incher. If some lady's carrying that around, they'd be saying,
Jesus. Slapping that down on the table and be like, oh.
Vibration included.
Oh, look at that. Look at Mike.
Chunkly wunkly.
7 inches.
And all man.
All man.
All origami. So. There's some horrible activity going on in the corner. You don't want to
know about it. You don't know what's going on in there. Block.
Oh, my eyes! They burn!
Anyway.
Not like you're coughing. Oh. Okay,
so very small,
simple.
Highly capable.
It's very small, highly capable.
Portable computing device.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Right. That's what I call it these days. So this was a mysterious thing. Microsoft had a... It was a big secret what it was, and it turned out to be just a little computer. But it could be cool. I'd like one, but it's very dear, though.
It's very dear.
About 1,000 spidloons.
Plus, you have to wonder, if you're going to spend that much, why not just buy a laptop?
Yeah, buy a laptop. Or,
yeah.
Well, buy this. But is it...
The question is, like, I mean, which is better for that much money, a laptop or that?
Depends what you need it for. If you want it just for writing, for going about, I guess it's probably got a camera in some of the editions, or at least you can put your photos on it, just blogging on the go, that kind of thing. This would be cool. But if you want to play games... If you want
a serious kind of desktop replacement,
be a man. You want to
be
a
laptop,
desktop, man hands.
It could have like a small niche market, but I don't know whether it actually would get like a huge amount of people using it, because I think people would still stick with like laptops.
Yeah, I think it might
for,
be
like, just
another tablet,
superior
PC.
Yeah. Just for like the superior like computing power and battery life and stuff like that. I mean,
although
that's the same thing as like, how long will this last on a battery, one charge?
Mm. I do see a device like this sort of size device ultimately replacing most laptops, but not this particular device, more powerful. Down the line, when computing power isn't as important. Do you know?
Yeah, but no, when it's more web-based, I'm
when
sure,
it's more web-based,
and
you only need
like
a certain amount that is...
Web connectivity is almost guaranteed everywhere, much like mobile phone connectivity is guaranteed almost everywhere at the moment. And it's cheap enough that you can pretty much just be signed on and you can just get it everywhere in the country. Yeah. Yeah.
Christ. That went down like... Moving on, really. Our next story,
wouldn't you?
Isolator is the anti-social network. It's a social network for people who hate people, and you can log on and not contact anyone and remain
and
isolated.
Select the people you hate, and they can join your list of enemies, I'm sure.
Well, that's a different website. There's actually one, and there's another one.
Well, they not have Isolator where you can just go enemies, and it's like, I hate you.
No, it's a different one.
You can just sling insults or something.
That's,
at each other.
That's a different one.
Alright. Should I go into our final story? Would you leave my head alone?
Bigara.
Hoogly Moogly.
Skiddly Idle. Doodly Woogly. Moogly Woogly Woogly.
Should I talk to me enough? Woogly Woogly Blah.
Science Myths Explained. So.
Do you know we're going to get a message? Was that real Irish you were speaking from some American?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
So, 20 of the most plausible scientific myths have been explained and shown to be utter shite. Such as the 5-second rule, which we all know of. Although, I used to know of the 3-second rule, but it's the same thing, essentially. It's the same thing. It depends, you know, 5-second rule. Essentially, you drop a piece of food on the floor. If you picked it up in less than 5 seconds, it's still good. It's a load of rubbish.
It's nonsense.
Because from the second it touches the floor, yeah, it's no longer good.
Microscopic particles of poo.
Oh, yeah, that, and I like the. I really thought the one about, you know, that the water goes down the drain differently in the southern hemisphere was
ooh,
actually true. So I'll have to go to the southern hemisphere and find out.
According to this website, it's
oh,
a myth.
The number one though
myth
is like chickens are still alive after their head is cut off.
True.
No,
it's
true. That's
true.
It's true.
True.
They can live for months.
What?
A chicken once lived for 6 months after
that's
his
right
head was cut
his
off.
Name was Mike, the headless chicken.
His name was Mike, the headless chicken.
How did he live for 6 months? He couldn't eat.
He was fed through a thing into his neck. He didn't eat himself, they fed him. They thought it was cool.
It was a social experiment.
Cockroaches can live for about a...
ever.
No, they can live for quite a period without a head.
You've managed several years.
No, I'm not.
It's fine, it's fine. Okay. Shut up.
You in the corner.
Moving on. Our media
opinion.
Face the corner. Cunis.
Women. Our media opinion. Yes. You have a media opinion this week, Francis?
He is a media
opinion. Oh! My media pimp this week is View from the Sidewalk, which is a blog by an American who's actually homeless. So, interesting because you actually get a view of, given a voice to people who normally don't have a voice.
It's very cool.
It's pretty cool, and actually, he demonstrates how actually easy it is to actually become homeless, because this guy is a graphic designer, he's educated, has a proper technical job. He's not just some bum who couldn't get a job or was useless. But
so it's okay to be homeless as long as you're a useless bum.
No, but I'm saying that, like, I mean, bad circumstances, things can turn against you. This guy found himself homeless. He never expected it, and now he's trying to drag himself and his family. Well, I think it was just essentially he was working for a company. He got laid off. Was finding it difficult to find another job, even though he was like a graphic designer and has skills and rent, and they eventually got evicted and they pretty much had nowhere else to go.
And with no social welfare system, no dole in the United States.
And yeah, I mean, he talks about like where he's walked under bridges and he keeps an eye out for like people sleeping, for like evidence of people like sleeping under bridges, which is like It's kind of weird, like, I mean, just, like, to think people... It's the kind of thing you think of from the Grapes of Wrath or something like this, like the 1930s after the Great Depression, people sleeping under bridges, but, like, this is, like, 21st century,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people are still sleeping under bridges, that there's that kind of poverty.
And
in
we
the
have
world.
A huge homeless problem in Dublin as well, which is absolutely disgraceful. It's growing daily. There's an enormous amount of people sleeping on the streets.
Yeah, and if you look in certain places like Pier Street Station, behind the telephone box, you see some person who sleeps rough there, their sleeping bag and all their gear is left behind this telephone box. You see it every day. So, I mean, yeah, it definitely exists. And it's kind of, you know, societies can be judged by, like, how they treat, you know, the most vulnerable, the most, you know, exposed, and I don't think we're doing too good.
No, and the horrible thing is, you talk to your vision, they say stupid things like, they're not really homeless. Well, if you wander down any of the areas of Dublin where you see homeless people, I live in the Portobello area, if you wander around that sort of area, 3 o'clock
yeah.
in the morning, any night of the week, you'll see plenty of people
yeah.
who are very homeless.
I think
not faking
the
it.
The point
for
of
money.
The blog is to just show that, like, these people are, you know, not stupid layabouts who are, like, not trying to get anywhere.
They're intelligent layabouts who are not trying to get anywhere.
Yeah,
just
but,
kidding.
Like, it can be very easy to fall into that trap, and it can be very, very hard to break out of it. So, I mean, it could happen to anyone, and that's the point of most of the blog, and you really should take a look at it.
Well, I actually was almost homeless for a short period of time once due to a horrible collision of circumstances. So, I mean, it can happen to anyone. If it can happen to someone as fabulous as me, or honest, then it could even happen to someone as crap as you. moving on to my media pimps of the week. TV Go Home is...
Huff now.
You're in the huff. It's a website
you're
from Charlie Brooker, who is one of the co-creators of Brass Eye and other Christopher Morris shows. So if you're a fan of Christopher Morris, check this site out. It's absolutely filthy, and it's a parody and a social critique of television and how incredibly, utterly, without any saving graces it has become. So it's kind of entertaining.
Fine. Yeah, and I told you about Langerland, so
you
I don't know why you're stealing that.
Do
off
you know
me.
What I realised, though? Langerland.
Oh, that's the first one I watched, What the Brits Have Ever Done For Us.
It's
great.
It's Langerland. Great. It's a cartoon produced in Ireland, and it's actually done by a friend of mine. My friend Fiona's boyfriend Ronan does it, and it's a great cartoon, so check that out, langerland.com. I hope that he's not anonymous.
Yeah.
Let him just ruin his secret.
Yeah, my friends, they'll track him down.
Yeah,
they'll be bursting down the door any second now.
The
run, Ronan, run, run for your life.
He's watching this right now going, and they're just banging on the door.
We'll protect you in the underground.
Join us in the rebellion. Find Me Guilty is a Vin Diesel movie. Vin, as you've never seen him before, plays an overweight mafia?
Mafia.
He plays a mafia.
What's a mafia? Oh, you're mad. I'm going to whack you.
He plays a mafia hitman who is defending himself both from other hitmen and from the justice system, which wants him to get him to betray his friend. And he put on a lot of weight for the movie and got old looking, which I guess proves he can act.
Yeah, sure.
But it's interesting. Watch the trailer anyway. Probably shouldn't watch the film. Convert to PDF is, I thought it was nice. It's probably everyone else will think this is a waste of time, but if you're ever stuck at a terminal where you don't have access to OpenOffice or any other application which can make PDFs, you go to this convert to PDF website and you can convert any file to a PDF,
yeah,
just like that.
Can press that, it's cool.
It
yeah.
works really well.
It's
it
really
works
cool.
a lot better than a lot of PDF exports I've seen. And it's just really handy. So you upload your PDF and they mail you the file. They,
exactly.
You're giving them your
well,
email.
Yeah, exactly. Plus a lot of things demand, or like certain, even companies demand like that your CV goes into them in Word or PDF format. So I mean, it might be quite handy to send it in as PDF.
Yeah, and so recently I had to convert a lot of files. I was transferring my website to my schnazzy new website at dbspin.com. Check it out.
Plug.
Some PDFs were created for that. Which also, next Thursday, we should mention before we go, why am I talking in this sort of pseudo-bugger voice for the past hour? I don't know.
It's St. Patrick's Day.
St. Paddy's Day in the Garrett Alley. We will be in Tipperary.
Tipperary!
Should all go to plan. In the Tipperary Institute, doing a technologics in front of a live studio audience with a bunch of students. Mr. Bernie Goldbach has very
graciously
and graciously and decorously, the Leo Laporte of Irish podcasting, invited us down. So we'll be shooting the show there and covering a Java Robot War tournament, I believe, is the description, which sounds intriguing, to say the least. Is that it?
I think it's it. Just Dave. Bigora and Tamara and Shoody Woody Woody.
Holy Miguel.
And Woody Woody Woody. Woody.
We can finally go out.
Bigora and Tamara.
All good Irish people do on St. Patrick's Night. Just drink the Liffey
and shake the women of Ireland. Score!
Sorry.